My name's Jay Mills. I'm a regional sales manager with Meek O'Sullivan Dock Company. You probably read my biography in the brochure or not, but I've been around the marina industry for about 20 years or so, and managed marinas. I'm a licensed contractor, so I've built marinas. Worked with WestRec Corp for a while, managing a chain of marinas, and then kind of transitioned into working with a marina manufacturing and installation company. So the whole theme of this presentation today really came about because I bumped into a couple of marina operators who were making what I considered to be some pretty significant mistakes in the way they were planning their marinas, or actually in the way that they weren't planning their marinas. They weren't really doing any planning. They just said, well, I got to replace those docks, so let's start talking about replacing those docks. So I wrote an article for Marina Dock Age magazine a couple of months ago that was published. And yeah, and this is really kind of expanding upon that article and some of the themes and issues that I was talking about. As you all know, capital improvement projects are rarely the same in scope, and cookie cutter solutions really rarely produce good results, in particular good financial results. The one element that all CIPs, or capital improvement projects, do have in common, though, is that they cost a lot of money. So it's worth it to spend some time planning, analyzing, deciding how you're going to do it. If you're going to replace a marina or even do a major renovation in a marina, there's almost always some ways that you can change your slip mix or change the configuration of the marina that will yield additional income and revenue, that will yield additional revenue that you might not have been recognizing before. As a result, because of the costs, a lot of times that first question is, how much is it going to cost? But what it should really be is, you know, what will the impact be if we do that major renovation, if we replace these docks? What sort of revenue impact am I going to have? So there's always going to be a cost, but are we going to generate additional revenues and be able to build a more viable marina, I suppose, in the process? Now, that's not to minimize the importance of minimizing costs, but what happens sometimes is we don't do that planning and we don't do the adequate analysis. So perhaps the first question needs to be, no, that's not right. I'm going too fast here. All right, so replacing the cost. Again, as I was saying, one of my driving forces for doing this whole thing was working with the marina, and this is that marina right there. You can see that it's pretty obvious right from the get-go that they had a need to replace the docks. And they came to us and said, well, you know, what's it going to cost? That, you know, pretty much their only question. So we put together some analysis for them and determined what the cost would be for a wood timber dock replacement or for an aluminum dock replacement. And they were really kind of, they had their mind made up that they were going to do aluminum, but they were pretty sure they could also build it themselves rather than doing a commercial build. So this was the layout that we came out with. The marina needed to be in the same footprint that it was in before. They had 24 slips there, so we created 24 slips, wood timber glue lam frame with a concrete deck, and all the utility pedestals. Was quoted at about $221,000. The extruded aluminum frame with embossed concrete deck was quoted at about $263,000. So, of course, they had not done any planning. They didn't even really have a budget in mind. So when they saw the dollars, it was a pretty big shock to them, I think, because the words out of their mouth were, well, that's just way too expensive, not something that we can do. So I think we're going to build these docks ourselves. The one thing that they didn't consider when they were talking about the cost of the dock was what kind of lost opportunity costs were they going to have in that process? How long was it going to take them to build these docks, replace the revenue that they should have had, and pay for even what they got? So over the years, I would drop by the marina. I talked to the marina manager, and we'd review what was going on and what they were doing. This was 2 years into the project. They still hadn't put the electrical in. They had a couple of the fingers on the dock. They had the main walkway partially finished. They had a new gangway attached there. And we started talking about the costs. You know, how much has this process cost you? Over a two-year period of time, they'd spent $75,000 on dock materials, $25,000 on their utility electrical systems. Manufacturing labor for just manufacturing the dock. The dock master basically was a welder, and so he was making the dock, and I asked him how many hours he spent. He goes, I do it about half time. So $50 an hour, 1,000 hours, $50,000 worth of manufacturing labor had gone into it. And then they'd had to go out and hire another guy to do the maintenance work that the dock master couldn't do anymore because he was busy building docks. So total, after 2 years with docks that still couldn't be occupied, they'd spent about $190,000. When I added that all up for them, they were a little bit surprised. And then we started talking about, you know, how much more time were we going to have to do this. Probably another $5,000 in materials and another $50,000 worth of labor, and they'd have the project done. So here we are, probably 3 years into the project. They've spent $245,000. They're going to spend $245,000, which is about $18,000 more, $18,000 less than the aluminum dock quote that they got, and about $14,000 more than the wood dock quote. So 3 years, and they haven't made much headway, and it's really just because they had never really thought about what the total costs were of trying to replace these docks. You know, a commercial dock builder would have come in and had it done in 2 months. They're 3 years into the project. That's 3 years without any revenue. So what's their lost opportunity cost? Just tied up in that lost revenue that they didn't have. And there it is, the lost opportunity cost. So if we assume that the existing slip rate that they were charging was $6 a linear foot for a 30-foot slip, it's 180 a month, 2,160 a year times the 24 slips, $51,000 a year in revenue that they weren't seeing. After 3 years, $155,000. Now, that old rate of $6 was based on those old wooden docks. So wouldn't you assume that if you build brand new docks, you could probably get a higher rate? So just looking at it and you know, assuming a $7 linear foot rate, you've got a potential revenue of $60,480 times 3 years, a little over $181,000 in what I refer to as lost opportunity cost. So if we start looking at the rate of return, or I'm sorry, return on investment analysis of the two different scenarios, I think that it even broadens the argument a little bit more for moving quicker on your capital improvement and doing a little more planning. If they'd done the commercial dock installation, as I said, it probably would have taken a couple of months to have the docks in. They would have had revenue coming in. cost would have been $263,000 if they'd done the aluminum dock. Then assuming a $7 linear foot rate and that $60,000 a year, that particular formula would provide an initial rate of return of 23% on the investment with a cap rate of a little over 4 years. So they're 3 years into it. They've only got one more year. They could have paid for all brand new commercially made docks, and they're still struggling trying to build this other dock. Assuming the in-house dock installation, or if we compare that to the other return on investment analysis, and then put in the lost opportunity cost, which is actually it is a cost. It's not out of pocket, but it's not in pocket either. So you've got a total cost of $426,000. You apply that $7 a linear foot slip rate, and you get an initial rate of return of about 14% compared to the 23% that they would have had from the commercial project. And again, it's that time factor more than anything else. Cap rate of about 7 years. So I've seen this type of scenario a number of times, and every time I see it, it kind of piques my interest, and I talk to some marina operators, and a lot of times it's like, well, you know, we're building this out of our cash flow because we don't have financing and we didn't get financing. And one of the reasons they don't have financing and didn't get financing was they didn't do any analysis that they could take to the bank and show them that, you know, we can pay for these docks, and all we need is a 4 or 5 year loan, and it's paid for, and it, you know, it becomes a viable investment at that point. So that's kind of the why of the approach. Now let's talk a little bit about the how of doing the analysis. So obviously the first question that we really ask when we start looking at it at our marina and deciding that we probably want to replace some slips is, you know, is it time to replace an existing facility? You know, if your occupancy is sagging or the docks are coming apart, this particular marina at one of the other marinas I've been talking about, and you can see the old open cell foam is starting to soak up water and the docks are starting to sink. It wasn't so scary walking on the docks as much as realizing that there was electrical dangling in the water as well. And it was 50 years old as well. So it was really scary if you had to think about putting your hand in the water. Anyway, you know, if your customers are complaining your rates aren't keeping pace with the market, or you've got safety concerns, then one of the rules of thumb that I used to apply when I was in the management end of the industry, and I've talked to other marine operators who do pretty much the same thing, is the 10% rule. If you're spending more than 10% of your gross revenues on maintenance, or if you've accumulated more than 10% in deferred maintenance, it's probably time to start looking at replacing those docks. And it may seem like a low number, but it accumulates and it starts, you know, when you're at that point, it starts going downhill real quick. So what I've always started with in this process is a comparative market analysis. And that's really looking at what is the competition doing. What is the market around me supporting? And in this particular case, this was a survey form, and I actually mailed this out and emailed it to, I think, 8 different marinas in the region. And 5 of them responded. Sometimes you gotta give them a little incentive. When we were doing the consulting end of it, I offered all of the marina managers a $50 Starbucks card if they would return it. Plus, we would give them a copy of the results of the market survey. So it kind of helps everybody understand at least what the market is doing. So this is the front page, which shows, if you can hardly see it, but over here we've got different slip sizes and then different slip widths that are put in, whether it's a single loaded or double loaded type of slip operation. Trying to remember what these are. Occupancy. So number of available, total occupancy, and then the percentage of occupancies. And then we start looking at daily rates, monthly rates, annual rates, and compiling all of this. And this is just data. And with this data, we then take it. This is actually more data on what are the amenities at the marina. So does it have a fuel dock? Does it have a pump out, hazardous waste disposal, dry storage facilities, marine chandlery services? And again, we're just trying to get an idea of what each marina has, what each amenity is that's offered throughout the marina, as well as their rate structure. And it's somewhat subjective because we're looking at it, but now we've got a picture of five or six different marinas, and we can take that and we put it into a spreadsheet format where now we can directly compare everything. Now, this particular spreadsheet had six marinas all the way across, and all with all of their data here. And then we took that data and we did averages of all the data. So that now we've got an average rate per square foot, average rate per linear foot is in there, and some other rate structures that we can compare. Plus, we know how many slips are in each size range and where there might be opportunities for adding certain slip sizes and raising rates. This was ultimately the client marina and the proposed rates that we took from here. And we settled on an average square foot rate, 47 cents a square foot per month, and built into that our recommendations for the number of slips in each size range. And from there, we get a financial picture of how much revenue is being generated by that particular slip mix. And you can play with it. That's the nice thing about spreadsheets. You go in and say, well, you know, what happens if we add more 50-foot slips? You got your marina basin's only this big, so you've always got to look at that. But this gives us a lot of data to start planning out the slip mix and what's it going to look like financially. Again, those are the amenities lists and a compilation of all of the amenities that were offered by all the marinas, and then recommendations over here for what our client marina should probably have in their program. This is a tool I love playing with, Google Earth. You can go into Google Earth, and one of the things, this is a California marina, one of the things there is they have pretty strict fairway guidelines, especially if it's a municipal marina, and this was a municipal marina. So we need a fairway of 175% of the largest slip size. So obviously these 50-year-old slips, not only were they probably going to be bigger, but the fairways were going to be bigger, so we were going to lose some slips in this process. But you just kind of play around with Google Earth and measure out different areas and say, okay, I can put slips here and I move slips here. And again, you know, it's a tool that you go back and forth with to kind of use. And from there, I gave the final recommendations to our engineers, and they came in and redesigned the entire marina based on our financial picture that we developed and our preferred slip mix. And again, we'd lost one complete dock here, but we were able to extend a couple out, and we added a couple slips here. And so the total loss was less than 5% as far as the number of slips that they had. And we had a much larger average slip size as a result of this as well. And one of the complications was this dock had already been replaced, and it was all new. And so we had to build everything around it. So we had the restriction of the marina basin is what it is. Then we got this slip in the middle. We got these finger slips right in the middle that now we have to build everything around and try to maximize it. So it was a little bit tricky, but it was kind of fun. Once we've done this, we can start to develop a pro forma budget. So how much revenue is this marina, what's the potential for this marina to produce? I mean, what's the total revenue potential once it's built? During all of this, you've got to, of course, discuss whether the marina needs to be dredged and what other improvements are going into it. This marina needed all new electrical. It was going to have to be completely dredged. We settled on a 5-year development plan with the first phase being these two docks. We'd rip these out and then dredge this area and then start building those docks. Then the next year, another set of docks and on and on. They're going to add a fuel dock also over here, which added a real significant amount of revenue to the overall picture, something that they didn't have before. But the county had been actually asking them to put a fuel dock in, so we felt pretty good that the permitting would be a little easier than normal. So once we got all that, we put it into this spreadsheet format here. This is a pro forma budget. This is just the summary page. The worksheets are probably 30 pages long. But you can see how the revenue, existing revenue, is 51,000 net revenue at this marina. It was 51,000 a year in 2007 or 2018. In 2017, it was 133,000. One of the reasons this was going down was because of the maintenance costs, which were significantly increasing. Plus, they were starting to lose slips. They had slips that couldn't be occupied anymore. So their revenue's going down, their expenses are going up. It's really time to do something. With the new marina, that at the end of that four-year plan, it was a four-year plan, not five, at the end of the four-year plan, their net revenue projected at 100% occupancy was about $482,000. And that would serve about a $7 million loan, loan debt. When we started on this process, the marina was pretty convinced that they were going to need 80% grant funding. And they were in the process of trying to do that. There's a lot of grants out there, but 80% grant funding on a coastal marina in California, pretty unrealistic, really. By the time we got done with all of this and we showed them the numbers and the potential and everything, they were able to take it to some of their, it's a harbor district here. So they took it to the harbor district and to some of the taxing authorities, as well as some lending agencies, and they've got some grant applications in as well. But ultimately, they really only needed to apply for about a 30% grant on the marina. And that's a lot easier. It's going pretty smoothly. And I think they'll be able to accomplish that pretty well. So as I said, there's a lot of considerations in this process. You really want to research the dock company, the contractor that you're considering, visit previous marina customers and ask questions about the types of docks that you're looking at. Consider different anchoring solutions in some cases. One of the things that we're seeing more and more of on lake installations because of these new wakeboard boats, is the need for wave attenuation in the front of the marina. And that is not very often a revenue-generating dock that you're building there, but it will add value to the overall marina. If you've seen the effects of a 3-foot surf wake coming off a boat and going into a marina, it's not pretty. So a lot of different things to consider. Visiting the marina, the manufacturer's facilities, look at the process. That first slide was steel dock frames. There's a lot of different ways to build docks nowadays. That's a glue lam system that is used primarily in saltwater environments, but it's been used in freshwater as well. There's an aluminum manufacturing facility here. And you know how a dock is built and the materials that are being used in that dock are real important. You can see from the way this particular manufacturing plant is laid out, everything's flat, square, and level. So when the welds are made on the aluminum dock, you've got a frame. When it gets on the water, it will not twist because it's built flat. And as we all know, water's a pretty level substance when it's calm. So if you've got a frame that's not necessarily built tight and straight, the second it hits the water, it starts stressing itself and starts twisting just from the natural flotation. So quality of manufacturing as well as materials makes a big difference. And, you know, I most dock manufacturers out there will accept an interested customer to come into their facility and take a look at how things are built and what's going on. That's pretty much it. Anybody has any questions? I'd be happy to answer them. I hope I gave you some information or at least some ideas on how to approach a capital improvement project. That was really my purpose, was to try to show you some ways that you can do some planning and help make the project a little more viable. Yeah?
You said that 10% rule was 10% of gross or net? What did
10% of gross. Yeah, if you're spending more than 10% of your gross on maintaining certain docks, and I mean, you can look at them individually, too. You can say, well, you know, that dock generates $1,200 a year, but it costs me $1,000 every time I turn around. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Cost-wise. A lot of variances, but assuming you're building 28-foot docks on 12-foot wide, I suppose, and using anchor pipes or anchoring, and what's the average cost nowadays?
Well, you know, materials.
Just an average.
The question was, what was an average price for a 20-foot slip? 28-foot slip, two fingers, yeah. Single loaded. Based on square footage is the way I would probably answer that. And, a wood timber dock, steel
is galvanized.
Yeah, galvanized steel, 12-inch frame, somewhere around $45 a foot, a square foot. That would be delivered. With composite deck, say. If you concrete deck, about the same as composite, really. You can put a concrete deck panel on there. With composite, you have to screw it down, and with concrete, we don't have to. So you can put just about any decking material on it. Ipe is a little more expensive.
Would it be with foam and plumbing, wire, and everything, or is that just...
No, that's the dock. That would be the dock. Delivered with flotation, with decking, everything.
$45 a foot.
Yeah.
Electrical.
Electrical is usually priced out by the individual unit, So anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000, depending on how far you got to pull it and how much you got to spend on a marina unit transformer.
So that $45, that would be installed and complete, roofing, covered.
That would not be installed, and that's not covered.
Okay, so that's open slips only.
Open slips.
$45
a square foot. That's cleats, floats, deck, rub rail, sideboard, in the water.
Is that 4 foot fingers?
Well, you know, at 3 foot or 4 foot, it's a square foot number. So square foot of dock space is what I'm basically quoting there.
So what would you, now you're adding gross, what would the covered slips?
Covered slips, you'd probably add another $15. Again, if the bigger the covered slip, the more the structural.
We're at 28 foot.
At 28, you're about $15. Yeah, $12 to $15 per slip or per coverage. Now that's not square foot of dock; that's total cover area.
It wouldn't matter if it's what size the walkways or fingers are; it's still square footage.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a rough number. Walkways are easier to build than fingers, so.
How do you see the marina business, small boat marina business? What do you see the future next 25 years?
Next 25 years? I've been doing it for about 20 years, so I've seen it go way up. In the 90s, it was beautiful. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Next 10 years, 15,
yeah, next 10 years, I think we've got a pretty good roll going right now, next 10 years. There's a lot of old marinas out there still that need to be upgraded. But with the consolidation that's going on now, we're starting to see, you know, a lot of work getting done. And a lot of those old marinas are getting repaired and replaced. So at this point, I would say it's a pretty positive picture. Boat sales are up.
Do y'all take into account in your design if you're going to put boat lifts into slips versus not having boat lifts?
Well, boat lifts will work in any of the docks that we manufacture. So,
I just didn't know if they put weird stresses on the docks.
Not that much. Not so much. I mean, hydro hoist in particular puts very little stress on a dock nowadays. They've done a pretty good job of engineering. So, I mean, there are some others out there that might at various times.
You mentioned composite versus concrete, about the same price. But what would be the advantage of the concrete over composite?
Some people prefer the concrete. It does make the dock somewhat heavier, a little more stable. Tends to work better maybe in a more exposed area. It's cooler to walk on in most cases, depending on what your concrete mix is. But, you know, MECO, we probably sell 50-50 concrete to composite.
Longevity-wise, about the same?
Yeah, again, depends on the region. Concrete works well.
Freshwater, Great Lakes region.
Yeah, you know, one of the problems up there is the freeze-thaw cycles that happen. So you got to make sure that your concrete is a really good type of concrete that it can handle that freeze-thaw. There's exposed aggregates out there that are a little bit tougher up there because the moisture gets into them. I've been recommending for years that people seal their concrete docks after the first 3 or 4 years that they're there. They're all built with moisture inhibitors, but that goes away after 4 or 5 years, so it's a good idea to go out and reseal it. There's a number of different products out there. Sika makes a really good product. Sika.
$100,000, you know, it should at least be able to bring that for you to make it feasible to buy. is there a certain number? You know, I've heard several different ideas about it, but I'm really curious to see what you will say. And I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's a spin-off of what you explained, basically.
Right.
You can get this, you know, revenues from your docks and look at the money you're going to make. But, you know, on the marina that has been run down and you're trying to bring it up, you don't know those numbers. And you're gonna,
well, that's why you do that comparative market analysis in the beginning.
An area that, you know, there is not another marina in this lake and there's not another one in you know, 4 hours radius.
Well, it's a little more difficult then. You got to get... Right.
And is there a number that you know you guys go by in that case? You know, that's what I'm trying to nail down.
Yeah, every market's local, so you've really got to just kind of look at it and determine what you think it's going to be worth. Are you thinking about building a marina in a residential area or individual docks on residents?
No, it's actually it has 400 slips right now.
Okay. What's your occupancy right now?
The owner of the marina.
No, I mean, is it full?
Oh, yeah, not yet. That'll be on waiting list.
So you got room to raise your rates. you can afford to build new slips.
Well, I was just looking for the worst case scenario, you know?
Yeah.
Just to base it off of.
Well, you know, the marina slips are interesting because you can buy... You can buy an inexpensive slip that looks great on the water compared to an expensive slip. And you probably, most people would look at it and couldn't tell the difference. The issue is that inexpensive slip, quality-wise, not as good as the more expensive one? So is it going to be 5 years before you have to start doing maintenance? Or 10 years before you have to start doing maintenance. So you'll get a higher initial rate of return off of a cheap dock than you will off of an expensive dock. But if you're looking at a 30-year lifespan, or that's your 30-year time frame, then that expensive dock may ultimately give you a longer, higher rate of return. Because the maintenance is going to be less and you're not going to have to replace broken pieces and parts and things like that. So, again, there are a lot of things to consider in how you do it.
Thank you.
In competitive or premier markets, what are you seeing in dock design that marinas are using to differentiate themselves from the marinas?
Well, a lot of it's driven... by some of the new environmental laws and what's coming out. I mean, treated wood is becoming less and less accepted in areas. Even galvanized steel, to a certain degree, is starting to be frowned on in certain waterways. So aluminum is increasing in popularity. I think the docks are getting built better. Engineering's better. There tends to be more of a move towards a more quality dock when it's a serious operator, so, as opposed to some of the smaller mom-and-pop marinas who just really can't afford to build that dock. They're looking for a 10- or 20-year dock to just kind of move the marina on. In some cases, they just want to build it up, build the revenue up, and retire. But, yeah, materials, there's a lot of new technology, new aluminum alloys, and new roof designs, new decking materials. In some cases, depending on where you are, Fish and Wildlife wants a deck that allows 60% of the sunlight to go through, so that the smelt don't gather underneath in the shade and the salmon come and eat them. And there's all these little considerations like that. And they're all local. So it really depends on what your area is.
similar metals, i.e. Stainless cable and aluminum fairleads or galvanized steel and stainless steel?
Stainless and aluminum seem to be pretty compatible, but in most cases, a good quality dock's going to have a bushing or some sort of protection between steel and aluminum in particular. Stainless doesn't seem to impact either galvanized steel or aluminum the same way that raw steel or galvanized steel and aluminum. They definitely don't get along. You don't want to put concrete on top of raw aluminum either. And it just causes too much of a chemical reaction. So there should be some sort of shield between certain dissimilar materials.
Years ago, MECO developed a floating dry stack system. You know what happened to that?
Years ago. Yeah, I don't. To tell you, no, it's not. Yeah, floating dry stack. Yeah, I saw it many years ago myself, but it didn't last very long. No, I think, you know, the water space is too valuable. If you're going to build a dry stack, put it up on land. Thank you very much. I appreciate your interest.